Man, it's certainly good to be back in Lakeland, Grace Point, and feel the presence of the Lord here. Amen. We give honor to Pastor and Sister McGuire and their family. Appreciate them and the very fine work that they are doing here. Amen. Appreciate them being on the front lines and at this local assembly, bringing the gospel to this community. Amen. You are in good hands with your shepherd, his lovely wife. Amen. Glad to have my wife and daughter here with me today. Love and appreciate them. Give honor to them. Appreciate them traveling with me. Amen. Thank God for his faithfulness and his goodness. The vast majority of the people here, I do not know. Don't know anything about you. Those I do know, I probably just know a name or a face. Hi, how are you doing? And you're the same with me. But God knows everything. He has been in our homes. He's been in our minds. He's been in our cars. He knows what we're thinking, what we're dealing with, what we're struggling with. And he is here to help us. God never comes among his people without an agenda. Plan, a purpose. Bible says in the New Testament, one place said in the present, and the Lord was present to heal them. That's what he was there that time for. Whenever God comes among his people, he is there for a specific reason, to do something great, marvelous among us that we cannot do for ourselves. So at any time, and I appreciate what Pastor said a little while ago at the beginning of service about the schedule, when God just moves and operates whenever. I totally believe that, and I believe the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit, are always in operation. Nobody has to call you out. Nobody has to ask you how long you've been hurting and where in your body and whatever, or say, or read your mail. God knows, and you can be healed without anybody knowing that you have been healed and ministered to without anybody ever looking at you or doing anything in your direction. God knows every need in this house. So I pray that while we're ministering the word, that you open your hearts and minds and allow the Holy Ghost to do what he will in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. I invite you to turn with me to the first chapter of the book of John. Amen. Our God is so faithful. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, or understood it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12 is where I'll preach from. But as many as received him, not everybody received him. Many of his own did not receive him. But to as many of them that did receive him, to them. Everybody say to them. Specific group of people. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. First John says that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The world, the system of the world, has absolutely no power over God's children. No authority, no ability to do any harm. That's why he said, you could take up serpents, drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Nothing by any means shall hurt you, the Bible says. We are a protected people. No wonder the writer said, when you pray, the Lord was talking and he was writing. He said, when you pray, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To them that received, to them gave he power to become his sons or his daughters, his children. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness, mercy, your great grace that is in this place. Lord, we give you thanks and praise, for you know every situation, and you will heal and you will deliver and you will set free according to your authority and your power. We pray, Lord, that you work on our behalf in this place, every situation, corporately and individually. Lord, I pray your spirit be unleashed in this place. We'll forever give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you so rightfully deserve. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. And I'll keep standing. And so it'll all work out. Whether this is your first time in a church like this, or you are used to it and born and raised in it, the fact remains that God is God. The song they just sang a moment ago, that's just the way it is. God has always been. Bible says no mother, no father, no beginning of days and no end of days. No one created him. No one put him in position. No one found him and elevated him. He has always been. Some people claim to believe in a Big Bang theory and believe that things in space collided, sparks flew, and out of that came all that we see, from birds that fly and fish that swim and creeping things that creep on the earth. And they believe that all of it, without any design, just some things collided. But the fact is, if you believe the Bible, then whatever things collided that were floating in space, God created the space and the things that collided. As far back as your mind can go, God is already there. That's why the writer said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the ocean, when I get there, thou art there. The God that I'm talking about fills all space and all time. When the Bible says that God moved upon the face of the deep, it means that the Spirit of God actively worked in that particular place and planet and galaxy, which we know now is here where we are, and he called the dry ground earth. He had already created the planet. He had already put into existence. He had already worked, and now he came to finish a work. The earth was covered completely underwater, and the Lord told the waters to stay back. He called the dry ground earth. He told that earth to bring forth every herb yielding seed. He said, let there be creeping things, swimming things, and swimming things. He spoke it, and it came into existence. That's the God that I'm talking about. I'm talking about our Father. We're not serving an average Father. We're serving the Father of all fathers. Not just a God, but the God. Not just a Savior, but the Savior. And beside him, there is no other. People have been crucified like him, but never saved anybody in their crucifixion because the blood was not right. You have to have his blood in your life to cover your sin. Nothing else can cleanse, wash, and purify like the blood of Calvary that comes from the God that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about an average. I'm not talking about a figurine. I'm not talking about setting and placing him on a shelf somewhere and there is your God, shaping him and carving him and wishing him into existence. That's not the God that the Bible speaks about. The Bible talks about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is the God of Israel. He said in Isaiah, I am Israel's Father. I am the father of my people. That's why the writer said, I have been young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's children or seed or offspring begging bread. God's children are not beggars. They are blessed people by the open hand of God that provideth every need. For I know that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches. Everybody say riches. God is not bankrupt. God is not in poverty. God has all wealth and all power and all ability. And he spoke in the beginning of time. He spoke things into existence. God can speak and sickness leaves. God is able to command. As a matter of fact, I'll give you two scriptures in the Bible that are quite powerful. And here's what he said to Isaiah, or rather to Elijah, that he had found in a desert. And he spoke to him and he said, go to this place, for I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And it was a certain brook of water, and he went there, and every day in the morning and the evening, these ravens would fly in, swoop down, and deliver meat and bread unto this prophet. And he was by clean water, and he drank, and there he was revived in his spirit. Then the Lord spoke to him again and said, in a famine, said, go to this community, and there I have commanded this widow woman to feed you there. Anybody remember that little meal and little oil that was left? But God said, I've commanded the raven and I've commanded a widow woman. In the New Testament, I told you a story. I'll give you three scriptures. In the New Testament, Jesus said, in that Old Testament time of famine, there were many widow women that were dying, but the prophet was only sent to one of them. He was only sent to the one that would feed him, for the Lord had commanded her. Now, that ties into our text. Everybody got preached to, and everybody heard the scripture. Everybody heard the command of God. But to them that gladly received the word of God, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Everybody's going to hear the gospel, but not everybody is going to gladly receive the gospel. Be careful what you do with what the Father delivers into your hand. Be obedient to his command, and he'll deliver power and authority. For the Bible says that after you receive the Holy Ghost, power shall come upon you. Power to overcome. Power to live victoriously. We come to the house of God and we feel at times the weight of the world on our shoulders, and we struggle with things. But God doesn't struggle with anything. Our Father hasn't seen a day that he struggles. Never seen a day that God has to scratch the side of his head, look of amazement on his face, and how am I going to deal with this? God doesn't have sleepless nights. He doesn't have floors that he paces and hands that he wrings and wonders how he shall deliver you out of your particular pain and suffering. God knows how. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord knoweth how to deliver him out of them all. There is nothing you have gotten into that God doesn't know how to get you out of it. He's the greatest GPS you will ever download and use in your life. He has been here. He has helped people like you. He has been in your struggle before, and he knows how to handle himself. I feel sorry for people that serve would-be gods, man-made gods, born of the will of man or flesh, and somehow become, and people bow to them and talk to them and sing and dance to them, but they have no ability to do nothing. And I'll quote from the Bible. The Lord said, there are small g gods many, and small lords, small l lords many. He said, they have ears and eyes and hands and feet. He said, but they can't see, they can't walk, they can't touch, they can't feel, they can't do any good for you. But here he said, I am, and I am able to touch you and to be touched by you. And I am able to walk to anybody thankful that God knows how to walk. God knows how to talk. God knows how to think. God is not a dumb God. He's the God of the living. He knows how to handle himself. And whatever your particular struggle, this God, our Father, knows how to touch your life and deliver you in a moment's time. Now let me build your faith here. There was a woman in the Bible. For 12 years she had an issue. Maybe you had an issue 12 years, maybe less, maybe longer. But she had an issue in her life. She wanted to get better but could not get better. She spent all her money to get better and was none the better. So now she's even in a worse situation, because you could be sick but have a lot of money, but now you're poor and sick, so it gets worse. And here she is. And then she heard Jesus was coming to her community, and she told herself, listen, you got to read your Bible closely. This woman had no reason having any faith, building herself up, talking positively to herself. She'd lost everything and was no better than when she started, but she did not lose faith and ability. I can get better. I just haven't found the path yet. Whatever you've tried, don't get so discouraged that you quit trying. Alcohol didn't work. Drugs didn't work. The world didn't work, but don't you quit. There is a way to get better, and you are in that place today. The Bible says that she told herself, I'm going to the meeting. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And in that selfsame hour, 12 years of internal bleeding, her issue, and now it is completely stopped. Another woman, 18 years, the Bible says she had spine trouble, and her head was down where her feet were. And the Bible says it this way in the King James, and she could in no wise straighten herself up, which means she had tried to straighten herself up, but there was no way she could. Anybody ever been there? You knew you needed to straighten up. You tried to straighten up, but you could not straighten up. You last a day, you last a week, a month, a year, and then you're right back in the drug den. You're right back in the problems and situations of life. And you wanted to be better. You saw a path to be better, but you had not the ability to get better. This was this woman, 18 years, and she's on the street corner, and she's trying to live a normal life. She's not like everybody else, and she's feeling all of that pressure on her. But the Bible says the Lord called her one day and said, daughter, come here. And when he did, and he healed her, the Bible said, she straightened up. 18 years without the ability to straighten up, and one moment in his presence, and if God can fix a planet, God can fix you. If God can cause the stars to travel in their course, if God could create millions of galaxies and planets thereof, God can surely fix my trouble and my problem. You are in a point of grace. Clap your hands and shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not trying to preach you a nifty Father's Day message. I'm an evangelist. I'm trying to elevate your faith. You've not come to a place that God is just going to give you a nice little sermon and send you on your way. Just pay a few bills and stroke your ego and send you. This God wants to give you a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, a new outlook on life. He wants to help your marriage, help your kids, help your money, help your income. God is in love with you. He is your Father. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, I've messed up so bad. He don't want me. He's got worse than you. And he brought them in the fold. You have not sinned so bad that God is afraid of you or unconcerned, or you're not qualified. Nobody's qualified to be in God's presence. Nobody is right in their spirit and mind that they could be. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have attempted, like Adam and Eve, to sow fig leaves. We've attempted to cover our problems, cover our situations, but we've not done a good job at it. And people in our families know about it. On our jobs know about it. But I tell you, when God gets done with you, it will shock, amaze, and bring fear to people at how God could bring you from such drastic situations and turn your life around. I'll bring some Bible to you. There was a man who they had tried to tame. His name was Legion because he had so many devils. He'd been taken from his homeland. He was living in a strange land and community, and he was in a place called Gadarenes, however you say it. And the Bible says he had no clothing. He had not himself in his right mind. He foamed at the mouth. That's a sign of being a little bit crazy. And he lived in the tombs and catacombs. He's a cemetery person and dweller. As a matter of fact, if you study it, Gadara was a community that was built. They built their homes over the top of cemeteries. He lived there, cutting himself foaming at the mouth. They had arrested him. The local PD had arrested him, put him in shackles and chains, but he plucked them asunder. He gnawed and plucked at them until his fetters of iron were broken, and he was out there living some strange, crazy, monstrous life. But Jesus came to his community one day. Jesus will come where you live. He's not afraid of your drug dealer. He's not afraid of your pimp. He ain't afraid of your problems, your in-laws, your outlaws, nobody. Jesus will walk into your life and fix you right in the presence of everything that has bound you low these many years. God is not afraid of your devils. He ain't afraid of death. He ain't afraid of stink. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever you've got troubling you. God is able. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. You haven't figured out by now, I'm not here to preach to dignified Pentecostals. I'm preaching to those of you that dared come in here, sit down with your trouble, and the devil says, everybody's looking at you. Everybody's watching you. Some of you do such a good job covering it, most would think you are A-okay. But we're looking for people that know that God looks beyond every scar. There was a woman in the Bible, had 5 busted marriages, living with a 6th man. I'm quoting Bible. I'm not making up fiction. There's some bad people in the Bible, but Jesus was drawn to them. He went to them. He sat with them. He ministered to them. Your brokenness does not disturb our Father. He is into brokenness. He likes to mend. Our Father is in the salvaging business. He will hoist you out of the depths of your sin. He will bring you to shore. These people in the Bible, I want to straighten up, she said. She couldn't. So she's just trying to live the best life she can in the position she's in. Head bent over where her feet were. Most of us haven't seen our toes in years, let alone touch them. Unless we sit and bring them up to us. She is bent over and her head is all the way down at her feet, and she can in no wise straighten up. You imagine the life she has to live. People jeering, making fun, kids snickering and looking, and people staring and gawking. And yet when she made her way to Jesus, and you say, well, why didn't he just go to her? You got to get involved in your miracle. You can't just sit at home and do nothing and God's just going to show up and do it for you. You have to prepare yourself and get to where he is. Amen? And when you get some skin in the game and you get yourself in a place where you're involved in your miracle. And he said, daughter, come here. And she shuffled her way over to him and he straightened her up. I mean, her curvature of her spine, everything straightened and snapped into place. Think about it. A woman who is a created being, and now she's come in contact with her creator, and he made and he fixed what was made. He fixed it. God knows how. Look, if you got a broke down car, you go to a mechanic. You got messed up money, you go see a banker. You got messed up something in your, go see a lawyer. You got messed up life, come see Jesus. He is able to fix everything in your life. If you've got things happening that ought not to be happening, and things are working against you, and your family is on the rocks, Jesus is the answer. I know we live in a time where even churches tell you to go get some therapy, but I grew up in a time where they told you, we're going to pray about this thing, and God's going to fix this thing, because God is the greatest therapist that you will ever meet, and he don't charge near as much as they charge, because he don't charge nothing. And he will fix, not recompartmentalize, not suppress, not rearrange your life to blame somebody else for the next 10 years. He will fix you and I in all of our trouble so that we leave here. Everybody say whole. Not H-O-L-E, W-H-O-L-E. Whole or complete or perfect means complete. That God can make you better than you were before you ever got found of him. You think you were that good before you got caught up in this marriage or this drug or this problem. God will make you better than you were before you ever lost your innocence, before you ever lost your pride, before ever you got involved. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. God can't fix me. I've been this way all my life. God can fix anything. Don't ever tell God he can't do something. You can't fix, you can't. That's what Job happened in the first three chapters of Job, is that the sons of God presented themselves to God, and the devil also showed up. Lucifer showed up. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he said, "Oh, I've considered him, but you got a hedge about him. I can't touch him." That's the first thing you got to know. If God's protecting you, the devil can't touch you. And so the Lord said, "Fine, I'll change the rules to the game. I'll lower the hedge somewhat, just a little bit. I'll drop the hedge a little bit, and you can touch his stuff, but you can't touch him." And he went for his kids, thing dearest to him. Job would get up every morning, make 10 altars, put 10 sacrifices on each, or put one sacrifice on each of those 10 altars, making 10 sacrifices every morning. This is a lot of work in the morning, one for each of his kids. He said, "For I know not if my kids would curse God this day. I've got to cover them in prayer." So he'd get up and pray for them. He loved his kids. And yet the Bible says the enemy went to the eldest son's house, brought the four winds of the earth and created a storm and blew the house down on them as they celebrated in the eldest brother's house. And all 10 of Job's kids died at one time. Job is left with one servant to tell him the bad news. This is what happens when the hedge just gets lowered a little bit. Just a little bit. Wreaks havoc on, takes his crops, takes his camels, takes his donkeys, takes his oxen, takes everything from him that was out there and was valuable by the pound and investments and seed in the ground, and took it all and sent one servant back. "We were there in the Ur of the Chaldees, came in three bands and did burn up your crops, drive off your cattle, and I only am left to tell you the bad news." But Job knew the God that he served, and Job said, "The Lord can give and the Lord can take away, but it ain't going to shake my faith. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job knew the God he served in. You and I have got to get to that place that we understand the God that we call Father. There are people that get into trouble and they avoid church. "I don't want to go to church. I don't want to see Pastor McGuire. I don't want to see saints. I don't want to be around church. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me all these different..." We don't like the commandments of God, but we'll listen to the voice of Satan. I'll prove it to you. In the beginning of time, in Genesis that we know of, the Bible was written, started there in the garden. I put the tree in the garden, in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. "The day that thou eatest of..." Don't eat of it, "but the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." So he gave the commandments up front. Now some people get, "Well, God don't want me to have fun. God made one tree. Why you got to put the best tree in the middle of the garden? You tell me don't touch it, that's the one I want to touch." That's human nature, right? That's the way that it is. Well, let me tell you something. If you read closely in Genesis, the Bible says every tree that God put in the garden was good to look at and was good for food. It's just a question as to what you have a desire for. And they didn't like, she didn't like these words. The devil came to her in the voice and the form of a serpent and spoke to her and said, No. "God has not spoken properly to you and told you the truth. He knows the day you eat of this tree that your eyes shall be open and you'll become gods like he is a god. And you're going to be like him." Here's the first thing. I'm not created to be a god. I don't need to try to be a god. It's not my position. It's not my place. But the Bible says he spoke to her. Here's the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the devil. God will command what is right, and if you obey it, you shall be delivered and saved. If not, you shall be damned. I'll quote, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." This is Bible, Pentecostal Church, Apostolic Church. Y'all with me? God gives the command up front. "Well, I don't like that. That rubs me the wrong way." Devil comes around, has his own little words to speak, but he appeals to the flesh. He showed her what she wanted to see. And the more she looked at it, the more appealing it was to the eyes. And here it is. We like the voice of the devil better because he appeals to our sinful nature. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And we say, "But I don't like God. It's too rough and gruff. And he this." And listen to me. If you are bleeding to death and you get rushed to the emergency room, you don't care the height, the color, or anything of the doctor. You just know that doctor needs to do the work. Hurt me, cut me, open me up, saw my ribs. Do what you got to do. But you need to keep me alive. Anybody with me?
We come to God in our most broken down state. We don't need to argue as to how God does it. We just need to be thankful that God is doing it. Fix me. Deliver me. Set me free.
I want to come out of gross darkness. Well, here's how you get out of gross darkness. I want to get delivered from the world. Egypt, a type of the world. Pharaoh, type of Satan. Here's how you do it. God will do things that will mess with you. They cried and prayed, and they were afflicted in 400 years. They were afflicted. And now they say, God has heard us and sending us a deliverer. And guess who shows up? A slow-speaking man called Moses and his older brother Aaron that has a stick in his hand. You want deliverance, and this is what God sends. 1.3 million Jews are crying out for deliverance in the mud pits of Egypt and the hard bondage, and God says, I'll deliver you, and he sends a man. He doesn't send an army. He doesn't send 12 legions of angels. He sends a man, but a man submitted of God. There is no greater power that is on this planet. I go back to the text. There was a man sent from God whose name was John.
Let's talk about John. John's just a man anointed of God.
John goes without permit, goes down in the public waters of the River Jordan, and he's standing there to baptize people because there's much water there. The Bible says a couple of horses trot up, and here's Mr. Bigwig, head honcho, Big Cheese. He's sitting there and says, we would be baptized. He's got this lover with him, this woman whom he's been sleeping with, and John, this preacher, just a man anointed of God, standing in public water without rights nor permits to the water, says, you will not get baptized in this water as long as you're sleeping with your brother's wife.
I don't think you want to go to a church like that, where the preacher says things like that.
This man says, I want to get baptized. Everybody would be excited. We got free iPads if you want to be baptized. And no, we don't, but you know what I'm saying. Some people do. And so we get all excited. John said, you're not getting baptized. He said, show me meat worthy of repentance. You know why old school Pentecostals, and I'm calling them that just because they're seasoned saints, you know why people come out of Brush Harbor days, still have the gospel, still know how many gods there are, still, and been through it, serving God for umpteen years, been through hell and high water, and still stand there wobbling on a cane and say, the Lord's been nothing but good to me. We got people that getting in now, can't last 5 minutes, and they got to leave the church. I'm going to tell you the difference. You got to get a revelation. You got to see this. You got to truly repent. You can't just get wet. If you get baptized in Jesus' name without revelation, I'm going to mess with your theology. If you get buried in the name of Jesus and you don't know the name of Jesus, you don't have a revelation as to who he is and the blood that is there, you had done no good. You might as well got in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It does no good. It doesn't. You need a revelation to them that gladly I see it. When you get a revelation, your trouble won't take your revelation from you. Finances can't take it away from you. Trouble can't take it away from you. Whether you're in the valley or on the mountain, there is but one God, and his name is Jesus. And I've been buried. It's people with a revelation that got a death angel on the loose, but put the blood on the doorpost. I've been delivered. I've been redeemed. Trouble comes to everybody. Trouble comes to everybody. It rains on the just and the unjust. This is just happening to me. No, it happens to everybody, whether in the church or out of the church. But the difference is when you have a revelation, you dig deep and you lay your foundation on that revelation. He laid it on the rock. Rock of revelation, rock of offense to some people, ashamed of him and embarrassed of him. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to get over your shame and embarrassment of him. He's the only Savior. You have no options. Alcohol cannot save you. Drugs cannot save you. Sex cannot save you. Lovers cannot save you. But they can kill you. Ask Samson with his lover Delilah. They can kill you. But God is not a man. God's not a man. God's not trying no pomp and circumstance and wow you and walk by you with swagger and attract you. And no, no, no. He is who he is. You see him or you don't see him. You embrace him or hate him and crucify him. But he is still who he is. Here's the problem is that people working for the enemy believe they have gotten the victory. I got to quit. I know it's got to be getting there. 120. But listen to me. They think they've gotten the victory. They think they've overcome. That's the work of Satan. Jesus stood in shackles and chains before Pilate in his own authority hall, before his own little throne. And Pilate said, "Don't you know that I can save you or kill you?" And Jesus answered him and said, "Pilate, you have no power except I give it to you." I want you to get that attitude that when you stand in the midst of trouble in this world and that devil says, "I got you where I want you," you better quit that church. You better give up that doctrine. You better quit on God or else you let that devil know you have no power except God lets you. Devil, the only way you touch my kids is the hedge has been lowered, but it's going back up where it belongs. There is authority in the name of Jesus. So you messed up and the hedge got lowered. That's all right. Get it back in its place. Understand, you have built something that is on the solid rock, and the winds come and the rain come, but it shall not fall. They celebrated. Others walked by his cross and wagged their heads and said, "Others he saved, himself he cannot save." What a weak, impotent God Messiah he is. Look at him now, hanging there. They even jeered at him and said, "Come off the cross and we'll believe you're the Messiah. Come off the nails. Come away from all that beating and shredded flesh and organs hanging out. Deliver yourself from off of there and we will believe you." Don't get caught up in that spirit. Those people were lying. They were never going to believe him. People that try to negotiate with God to this day and say, "If you give me this, if you give me a bunch of money, if you give me a better house, then I'll believe you're the Messiah." Duke, Jesus ain't your dancing chicken. He's Almighty God. He does what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. And the enemy is throwing a celebration. Others wagging their heads. They had no idea that Jesus had already said, "You didn't take my life. I laid it down, and 3 days later, I'll raise it up." Just because the enemy looks like he's winning doesn't mean he is winning. Well, I feel like the whole world is against me. I feel like the world is overcoming me. I feel like everything, and I'm not going to be able. And people exit the church and quit because they feel like I cannot make it. Listen to me. If you can't make it in the church, you can't make it anywhere. Anybody with me? If you can't make it in the church, serve an Almighty God who has all power and all authority and will do all the work, stand still and see the salvation of your God. If you can't make it on that, you can't make it in a bar. You're not going to make it on drugs. You're not going to make it in the world being a workaholic. You're not going to make it. You need him. I need him. Our Father, which art in heaven, who is able. Can't come out of this. I can't fix this, but he can. To them that gladly receive. See, the problem is the seed is scattered, but not everybody gladly receives it. Israel even got to a place. We don't want that manna. We loathe that manna. I hate that manna. Don't feed me with manna. And this is angels' food, the Bible says, and they didn't like it. You can get sick and tired of the Word of God. You can get sick and tired of church. You can get sick and tired of a lot and anything spiritual that comes from God. God's hand feeding you from heaven. He's got things going on in your life that are miraculous every day. I can't do this. I loathe this. I can't stand it. I don't like church. You like whatever you feed yourself. And if you're feeding the flesh, you only like the things of the flesh. If all you listen to is worldly stuff, then you're not going to like the words of God. You're not going to like the music of God. Somebody said, "The club turns me on. Church don't turn me on." That's because the world turns on your flesh and the church turns on the Spirit of God that's supposed to be dwelling inside of you. There's two different things there. Somebody shout hallelujah. Israel did have a time, and the only time they shouted and made noise in the camp is when the Ark of the Covenant come in the camp. Man, they'd get their war paint on, they'd get sharpen their swords and dance and shout because they knew with that box in our presence and what it represents, we shall get the victory. This is why we shout at church and rejoice at church. It's because of who he is, and if he is among us, we shall be healed, we shall be delivered, we shall pay our mortgage, we shall fix all things.
We'll get ready to close. And we're going to have time at this altar. And I want your faith to come with you. But you hear me. Your faith, every man's been dealt the measure of faith. But it has to be in the right place. Got to stop putting faith in people. In things. This thing shall deliver me. This thing shall wash away all my trouble and all my worry. There's nothing can wash away all your trouble and all your worry but the blood of Jesus. People get hooked on lyrics to songs. Don't do it. Get hooked on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when your whole world's falling apart, remember the words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. My word shall remain forever. Hebrews 11:1 said, by faith, 11:2, by faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It's by faith we know the worlds with an S, all worlds framed, put together by the word of God. Let there be, and there was. And some will wag their heads and say, oh, it's a good story, but it ain't true. It's not going to fix. I need this and I need that. But to them that gladly receive it and say, thank you for the manna. Thank you for sending Moses. See, if you're in a mud pit and you look up for a day of deliverance and all you see is Moses, you say, just a man? No. If you study shadow and type, Moses is a type of Christ, the deliverer. But see, that's spiritual insight. You can't serve God on your physical sight based on what you see. I just see a man. Friend, you'd keep reading your Bible and find out what that man with a stick in his hand was able to do because he's anointed of God. And fiery serpents come and strike you and you're ready to die. And God gives them a word on how to deliver God's people from fiery serpents in the wilderness. Anybody, when you get to a brook of water and you ain't drank in days and you're blistered up and dying in the burning heat of dehydration, and you get there and drink, and it is bitter water, but God tells the preacher, cut down this tree, not a tree, this tree, and throw it in the water. And now he said, drink, and the bitter waters at Marah become sweet. This is why you got to follow your preacher. He is spiritually wiser than all others in the house. He's anointed of God to take you from place to place and mountaintop to mountaintop and pasture unto pasture. Safest place on the planet, the safest place in this community is the church. The Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? 18 years, 12 years, issues, 5 busted marriages, living with a 6th man. Jesus sat on top of a mountain and overlooked a city, Jerusalem, one day. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How many times would I have gathered you unto myself, even as a hen doth gather her chicks? You know what he said after that? But you would not let me. You know how many things God wants to do for us, and we won't let him? Because we get hurt and we get angry, and when he tries to get off me, I don't want to be comforted. Leave me alone. I'm mad. I'm angry. How many times, he said, would I have gathered you? How many times? This altar's open. I feel the sweet presence of God in this place. I didn't preach very long because we need to work at this altar. I want you to come. Whatever your issue, whatever your problem, don't worry about who's looking or what you think they're thinking. Forget about them. God wants to gather you unto himself right now. Whatever slip up, whatever mistake, whatever heavy load you're carrying, your friends can't fix it. You can't ignore it forever. Oh, Jesus. But to them that gladly received, to them gave he power.
If you want that power, then you got to gladly receive. I'm thankful. That Syrophoenician woman said, "Truth, Lord. I may be a dog, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the children's table." Somebody hear that today. Gladly receive a crumb. For I know there's more power in one crumb that falls from the master's table. One man was blind and Jesus spit, made clay, put it on his eyes in the flesh. Don't touch me with your spit. But somebody gladly received it and said, "There's anointing in that. There's anointing in that." Whatever you can do. One man told Jesus, he said, "If thou canst do anything, help." If you can do anything, if you feel that way today, would you come with hands lifted? They're going to sing. And we're praying in the name.